Rachel, the very best. We'll be standing with you in prayer as you make this transition. And we trust that it's going to be a time of blessing. You'll be a blessing, and you will be blessed as well. Now, some of you know that January the 6th, there was an assault on the Capitol building in the United States by a large number of protesters, for which the media has gone absolutely crazy over everything. And one of the concerns that came to the surface was that they didn't have enough security. Now, you can't believe, well, you used to say, believe nothing you hear and only half you see. So I don't know what to believe anymore. But evidently, the Capitol Police there in D.C. and those that formed a security were warned. Something could happen. And they thought, well, you know, probably nothing too bad's going to happen. And they didn't take heed to the warning. Well, I am told that today there are more military personnel on that site in Washington, D.C., the Capitol building, the White House, the whole area there. There are more military personnel there than in Afghanistan today. In other words, they have taken heed to the warning. Now they, you know, I'm not here to make a political statement or anything, but only to say that they have advised that there could be problems. And they are now planning to be prepared for those problems. You got that? That's as far as I'm going with that. Let me tell you that in the last few weeks, I've been preaching and telling you, giving you warnings, things in the Bible are coming to pass. There are warning flags flying. There are circumstances that are unfolding. When are they going to happen? I don't know. How are they going to happen? I don't know. But I know this. The Lord says, be very, very careful. Listen to my word. Take heed to what you hear. Take heed to how you hear it. Take heed to yourself that you are prepared for whatever comes. How are you going to prepare? You can't prepare other than in the Lord. You can't prepare a bunker. You can't prepare enough food. You can't prepare enough weapons. You can't prepare for anything, but you can use common sense and you can trust the Lord and you will be as prepared as anybody can be here. Now, before I go much further, I want to go to Joshua 24 and then we'll go to our text for today on the take heed. But I want to go first of all to Joshua 24. Probably one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament, if you're a Christian and you listen to sermons, you study the Bible, you have Bible studies with others, whatever, this will crop up. It's a good verse. People have these plaques hanging all over the entrances of their doorways and everything else is Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, but I'm just going to take the part of the verse, the end of that verse, where Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Actually, we have that verse in our home. And, you know, that verse is not a lucky horseshoe or four-leaf clover or anything like that. It doesn't mean because you put it up on your wall that that's what's going on inside the house. But if that is your desire, if that is what by the grace of God you have chosen to do, that's a good text to put up. It really is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Attention just for a moment on the word serve. Serve. In the Old Testament, from a Hebrew word, it's kind of neat. It means to serve another, but that's not the end of it. We could get that. Serve, servant, minister, that kind of thing. But this Hebrew word goes a little bit further. Listen to this. To be subject to a conqueror. Oh. So bad king A comes over to good king B, beats him up, takes all of his people, conquers him, and takes them all back as prisoners of war. And now they are subject to a conqueror. Guess what they're going to do when they get back? They're going to serve the bad king. Okay. If we could possibly put this into perspective, that there is a good king and that he has fought the battle for us and won the day. He has conquered the enemies of our soul, and that we have the privilege of volunteering to be in his army, to be his subject. And in the truest sense, when we humble ourselves and submit to him and to his plan and to his gospel and to his son, we love it. We're not adverse to be subject to that conqueror. We love the conqueror. We place ourselves under his kingship and authority and his rule, and we serve him because we love him. In this passage, which is a very unique passage, you will find from verse 14, down through the end of the chapter, actually right down through verse 27, so about 15 verses, the word serve, if you're taking notes, just jot this down, go look it up, you'll really enjoy it. In those 15 verses from 14 to 27, the word serve is mentioned 14 times. You can't get away from it. It's just like over and over and over and over and over. Great thing. Serve. Now, let's go to the New Testament, and this time we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want you to have that in your mind about serving, because in our little mini series we're doing on take heed, we've looked at this thought: take heed for salvation. No foundation be laid other than Jesus Christ. Take heed for the foundation of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we did this by going to Mark and Luke, and we looked at these words: take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear, okay? But guess what? Faith comes by hearing. That's why that's important. So you hear the gospel comes in, where does it go? How do you hear it? How do you understand it? What do you do with it? Take heed for salvation. Last week, we talked about take heed for sanctification. Because I'm suggesting, we're going to talk about service today, but the reason we did not go immediately from salvation to service is that God wants vessels fit for the master's use. He wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Are you listening now? Holy, acceptable to God. Once we understand that we're never going to be completely sanctified here, but we're working on it. But in his eyes, we are sanctified because he sees us in Christ. Okay. So those of us who have trusted the Lord, we're now set apart for God for service. That's what we're going to talk about today. So a clean hands and a clean heart and a pure heart, oh God, you will not despise. So let's see what the Bible talks about the Christian life in serving the Lord. Listen, if you got saved later in life, let me tell you something. You served the devil before. You can serve God now. This is a privilege. This is a responsibility. But you are now voluntarily put yourself subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the captain of your salvation. You have chosen him to be your Savior, your Lord, your King, your captain. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to think about it. I'm just going to paraphrase a few verses here. Verse 4 down through verse 8. The Lord talks about how the work of God and the ministers of God should see themselves. They should see themselves as individuals in a teamwork, in a body life, doing what God gives them to do. You know this passage, one plants, another waters. And in other words, if the work of God is going to be done, then everybody's got something to do. And I understand that Josh and Rachel are going to this new location to be part of the team. They're going there to take their gifts, their talents, the things that they can contribute. They will be blessed by others. They will be a blessing, and the team will be working together for the what? For the great work of God. They'll be serving the work of God. Verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now, that first part of that statement, you are God's fellow workers, that's incredible. I mean, imagine how many angels would give their wings. I mean, if they have wings, I don't know. But how many angels would give their wings to do it? They say, oh, Lord, let me go down there. Let me be part of the team. I'd be thrilled. Hey, no. This is not the work of angels. This is the work of poor sinners saved by grace. And I want to be workers together with them. And so God's working with us. Paul writes and he says, you're a field, you're a building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one, here's our verse, let each one take heed. Okay, there you go. Bells are ringing. Lights are flashing. Be careful. Look out. Special attention. Pay attention. Don't worry about that. Worry about this. What? Take heed how you build. Now you see your life as the building blocks of a structure for God. You see Jesus Christ as the only foundation. Look at verse 11. No other foundation can anybody lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, and you will, hopefully, build. gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. 13, each one's work will become clear. Oh, when will each one's work become clear? For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what? Not how much, you listen? Not how much, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. Think about the building material for a minute. Gold, silver, precious stones. You try them with fire, the purity comes up. You try wood, hay, and straw by fire, ashes come out, nothing left, okay? So he says, if anyone's work which he has built thereon endures, if he built with the right building material, okay, you'll get a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Oh, that's bad. But he himself will be saved, even though he's gone through the fire. Our lesson for today is you should be very careful how you live as a Christian.
Amen.
I don't know how to say that any clearer. Every decision you make, every step you take, every word you speak, every thought you think is part of the building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's your life. And the Apostle Paul says, would you be really, really careful? Because one day you're going to stand before the Master. And the Master is going to say, Joe, don't worry about time. We're in eternity now, so don't worry. We're not worried about time. I just want you to take all the time you have and just tell me of all the wonderful things that you did in your life that was for me. Each man's work will be tested by fire. I don't know how this is going to unpack, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be worried about what Leroy did in that day. You know what most of us are going to be thinking? Oh, my goodness. I remember reading that. I even remember a preacher talking about that. I remember Joe Reese saying, there's a day coming, there's a day coming. And I didn't really pay attention. I didn't really get it. I just kind of thought, I'll do that later. Dear friend, this might be the last message I ever preach. It may be the last one you ever hear. It's like, it's coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know how it's going to work. But it's really going to happen. And it's not how good we are. That's not the point. It's how available we are. What can you give the Lord? What could you give him? Your heart? He got everything else. Present your body, the living sacrifice. Remember that? Now, in life, in service, choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. Choose. Make a point of it. Make a declaration of it. Carve it in a tree. Pile rocks somewhere. Make a memorial. Write it in a book. I don't know what you're going to do, but do it. Do it, because this day is coming. For instance, if you got your Bible, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 14 just for a moment, Romans 14. I just want to show you, the Bible talks about this day coming. And in Romans 14, I'm going to read verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all, listen to the word of God, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't get that confused with the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. That's not for you. That's for the unbeliever. This is for the believer, the Christian. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is talking about whether we're going to be with the Lord or not be with the Lord. Look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. So we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body. I bet if you could ask Blanquita right now, are you ready? She'd say, I am ready. That dear soul served the Lord all these years, and she's ready. She's going to be absent from the body very soon. And he said, I'm rather pleased to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, our goal in life, whether we are present with the Lord or absent, okay, to be well pleasing. Here's your motive. What sort of a building are you building? What are you using for building materials? What's your motive behind it? Okay, well pleasing, that's the motive. Verse 10, for here's the explanation. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or, New King James says bad. The word is phalon. It's worthless. We read about that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hay, straw, okay, stubble, worthless. What's the warning, dear friend? Be careful how you build. Be careful how you live. Be careful of why you do what you do. We're not going to be rewarded for how much we have done, but what motivated us to do it. Little is much when God is in it. It's not, oh, I did this and this and excuse me, in that day, you will not lie, you will not exaggerate, you will not boast. We're probably, all of us will be on our face like John in Revelation chapter 1, wondering what in the world. The day has come, my hands are empty. I wish I would have loved the Lord more. I wish I would have served him more. I wish I would have taken heed how I build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Dear brother and sister in Christ, provoke one another to love and good works, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, I hope that I will heed the warning. And I hope that everyone under the sound of my voice this morning will take heed how to build. Now, Lord, it's very possible that some don't have a foundation. They're trying to build on their own foundation. And that won't work. The rain and the wind will come and that foundation will be washed away, and great is the fall of that. And so we're praying that if there's anyone here this morning and they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they might have met someone that the Bible says, one plants and another waters. They've heard the gospel before. Someone's praying for them, encouraging them, but they've never taken that step to trust Christ. We're praying that today they will take that step. They'll enter into the most exciting life on earth, the Christian life. A life to live and serve the greatest of masters, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, wherever people are today, would your Spirit just work with us? And for those of us that know the Lord, the warning bells are ringing. Be careful how you build. And for those that don't know the Lord, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. For your eternal destiny depends on it. Father, we pray these things in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the good of his people. Amen.